Kenny Blumenfeld, senior climatologist with the Minnesota DNR, is with us faithfully as usual this morning. Thanks, Kenny, for being here.
Glad to be here. How are you, Katya?
Oh, doing well, doing well. And we got a lot of smoke around North America right now. I don't know if that's the top story or not, but I know it's one that we've been paying attention to. I have three sisters, one in California who is the one that usually gets all the smoke, and then one in near Toronto and one in Philadelphia, and they are both inundated really for the first time. So there's some major fires going on right now. I don't know how much you can tell us about that, but...
Yeah, so basically Canada is off to its fastest, earliest fire season on record. Fires in Canada are pretty common because there's a lot of trees, and in the heavily forested areas, it's easy for, there aren't very many people around. These are not human-induced fires like we have at the kind of the urban wildland interface that we have in California. These are generally lightning-induced fires. There's not utility lines in these areas. We're talking about, you know, huge swaths of Quebec and Ontario and Manitoba that basically look like the boundary waters. Yep. They're in the boreal forest, and it's just trees and water as far as the eye can see. And then, you know, maybe small towns and villages scattered few and far between. So these are, they always have a fire season, and it's usually, you know, right before, it generally is, you know, it kind of before their deciduous plant matter goes green. So it tends to be, because they're farther north, they're, you know, 5 to 10 degrees farther north than we are.
Right.
So these are areas that tend to be, they get their spring fire season usually starting in late May, going into June. It got a head start. It was about 3 weeks to a month early, and it's been massive. The burning across Canada has just been, it's been on a scale that they haven't observed before. So we had our own smoke issues coming here back when, you know, the main fire sources were in Alberta and Saskatchewan and a little bit of Manitoba. And so the northwesterly winds were dragging that smoke into our region. But then these huge fires erupted in Quebec. And those are the ones that there was actually a fairly strong low pressure system. And as you know, when low pressure kind of gets wound up, the winds start to crank, especially on the back side of it. And the low was centered just off of the Maritimes and just off the coast of Maine. And that put the winds in pretty much a northerly trajectory, meaning the winds were coming out of the north and northwest and northeast. And that just funneled all of that smoke right into the northeastern U.S. And then it's because there hasn't been much in the way of changeable weather here in the U.S. We're in this sort of doldrumsy midsummer pattern. And the bad news is that's allowed the smoke to spread out. So it's not as concentrated, but now it's covering a much wider area. And in fact, you know, by the end of today and into early tomorrow, much of the U.S. is going to be blanketed in at least a thin veneer of upper level smoke, not necessarily the kind that you can breathe and smell, but you at least see it kind of giving the sky a milky look. It's a little bit odd. I mean, you know, we don't have great records of all the burning that's ever occurred because, you know, for one, humans have managed the landscape for a long time, and fire was a part of, you know, indigenous land management long before Westerners arrived and kind of changed everything. But we have a sense, just based on kind of the scope of the burning and people's memories over the last few decades anyway, that this is pretty unusual, what we're seeing.
And do we need rain to end this, or once the leaves come out, is that going to bring a natural end?
Yeah, well, so a lot of the burning is in boreal and mixed boreal deciduous forests. So there's some part of the green up won't matter. But yeah, basically as more moisture starts working through plants, it's harder for them to burn. So even the even the conifers and, you know, the evergreens, they don't have much moving through them when they're kind of coming out of their dormancy. So there's not a lot of fluids moving through them. So yeah, generally the model is if you get enough rain, and you get enough water working through the plants, that slows down and can eventually stop the fire season. We just don't know how much inertia this one has. Forecasting the large-scale behavior of fire is really hard, and partially it's really hard because forecasting the climate, you know, pattern beyond a couple weeks of weather is pretty hard too. And so it kind of leaves some uncertainty there, but I hope we can see blue sky this year.
Yeah. Really do. Well, and meantime, here we sit. I don't think we've had rain, certainly since I talked to you last, and maybe 2 or 3 weeks before that. Are we still sitting on that same upside-down U-shaped thing you were talking about last week?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's a little bit, you know, it's moved around a little bit, but there's still, all of the precipitation is still falling out to our west. So just for listeners who weren't listening last week, basically, we've been in what's called a blocking pattern, and it's often, as happens, it's kind of shaped like the Greek letter omega. And if you can't picture that, just sort of then picture maybe an upside down U. And that's, of course, as if you're looking at a map. And, you know, this upside down U is essentially the air, the shape of that U is basically the airflow moving around a kind of stuck high pressure system. And for most of the spring now, for the last, well, 5-6 weeks, this high pressure system has been anchored just to our east somewhere, maybe in Michigan, maybe in the lower Ohio Valley, maybe in southern Canada. But, you know, these take up a large area, and that puts us in a position where we're still kind of the borders of the U are still off to our west and north, and that's where all the interesting weather activity goes. That situation has changed a little bit. It's kind of flattened. But still we're seeing most of the moisture congregating out in the western U.S., out towards the Rockies, the Front Range of the Rockies. Montana's just been getting pounded. They have been in flash flood watches and flood watches for most of the last 2 weeks now. I mean, almost every day there's been some kind of flood statement, flood watch, and plenty of flood advisories out in Montana. So that part hasn't changed, but the overall shape of the pattern, you know, at least it's showing some short-term variations because of that low-pressure system that dragged the smoke into the northeast.
So you see there is potential. I mean, obviously we have potential for little bursts of thunderstorms, but nothing else major shifting in the next week, at least, is what I think I'm hearing.
Yeah, so it's kind of frustrating, and it's kind of it's a little bit confusing too, because we have the main model that the Americans that we use here in the U.S. for forecasting. I mean, we can use any model we want. The main one that's been produced by the federal government is called the Global Forecast System, or GFS. It's a little bit bullish about precipitation, and it has been for a few weeks, and there's a longer range model that is based on it, that called the Climate Forecast System, that goes out, you know, 6 weeks or so. And both of these models have been continuously showing, you know, that we're going to get wet. Obviously that has not borne out yet. I mean, we haven't seen anything like that emerge here, but it's still fairly optimistic about precipitation forming as soon as, you know, within a week, and then lasting, you know, kind of in a wet pattern for a couple or a few weeks, effectively ending the dry spell. By contrast, there's a European weather model that is much more conservative with its precipitation in both the kind of near medium term for the next 1 to 2 weeks, and then also out for the remaining 6 weeks. And that model has, for the last month or so, that's the one that's been more accurate in terms of precipitation. So you can't say, well, just because it's been more accurate, it's going to continue to be accurate. But that gives us this really split signal. where it sure looks on one hand like we could get quite wet, like this whole pattern is about to break down and we're going to start getting a strong westerly flow with a more energized jet stream and more weather systems coming through. That's kind of the American model version.
Okay.
Versus a continuation of mostly dry conditions, weather systems not really making it here. I mean, I'd say right now, you know, we've already started sliding into drought conditions. There's actual drought now on the drought monitor, extending right up along the lake shore into Lake and Cook County, and then also in the kind of from the northern Twin Cities up into sort of the lower Central Lakes area. So we're starting to see that moderate drought expanding in Minnesota because of these dry conditions. And with something like drought, you kind of have to, you always hope for the best, but you have to start expecting the worst. You don't want to be promising water to people who aren't going to get it. It is possible, Katya, that when we talk in a few weeks, this whole thing will be behind us. I mean, that's possible.
Okay.
By the middle of the summer, we could be in a different regime, but at this point, we don't have any real evidence pointing to that.
Okay. All right. Well, that was a typical nuanced response, and I think that will have to suffice for a couple weeks because you're not going to be here next week. And I think after that, it might be Leo with you for a couple weeks. So,
okay.
Thanks so much for and then just stick with us through this whatever period is coming up next. I feel like as long as we're all in this together, it's more manageable. So
yeah, and you know, hopefully information is our friends if we actually have information that we can share.
Yep.
So
yep. Great. Well, have a great week off next week, and thanks again, Kenny.
Great. Thank you. Thanks everyone, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yep. Sounds good. Take care. Bye bye. That was Kenny Blumenfeld's Weather Tidbits.